Morning. All right. Here we go. We're going to move into the scripture reading for this morning. This passage for today comes from John chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 15 through 21. You can find this in the Pew Bible on page 1642. That's John 14. We're going to read verse 15 to 21. If you don't have a Bible, the Bible is important. It's the Word of God, living and active. If you need a Bible or you know someone needs a Bible, you can feel free to take the Bible with you. We believe that. So read with me now. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. It's the word of the Lord written for his people.
Good morning, church. Am I on? Good morning. And good to see you. I just returned from India. I was there for 6 weeks, 1.5 months. And for those of you new here, my name is Manohar James, and I'm on the staff team here and serving the Lord together with you. And thank you for being here, and particularly those who are new here. And when I was there in India, I traveled to several places, probably 7 states of India. And I was preaching, teaching, encouraging believers, and meeting new leaders, and, you know, serving the Lord, just wanted to be available there. And particularly, we had a medical camp in Tamil Nadu, where people from dozens of villages came and utilized because they didn't have access to medical care. And we also have opened a sewing center for a poorer neighborhood so that they can have income generating business at their home and feed their families. There were about 200 people that came for inauguration, and everybody looking forward to these kind of projects. And on Easter Sunday, we were able to help so many homeless people with food, and also across our network churches, hundreds of baptisms on that day. So I was so glad how God is blessing the ministry in India. And above all, I was able to travel to 4 different states to train 1,173 pastors through 9 different seminars. I was so touched by the love of the pastors for learning and to grow deeper in the Word. And I just wanted to thank you for all the prayers that you offer when I go to India, and also for the support that you offer, and anything that God blesses me or my team, and you're part of that blessings, and you are rewarded. All right? Thank you again. So today, Femi read from John chapter 14, 15 through 21. This is actually a farewell chapter. Jesus was comforting his disciples because their hearts were troubled. Why? In the earlier chapter, he told to them, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, but you cannot come where I am going. And they were so sad-faced because they followed Jesus and his schedules for 3 years, leaving behind their families, their professions, everything that they had. They were on mission with him. Now Jesus says, I'm going. You cannot come where I'm going. I mean, it was a suspense for them. It was kind of breaking the news by the same time not giving clear news. And they were so disturbed because they know without their master, the world would expect them to display the life of their master. And they expect them to do the works of faith, like healing the sick, even facing the opposition of Pharisees, opening the eyes of the blind, redeeming the demon-possessed. And all of these things are overwhelming for them because they knew they were called for a mission. And he begins to tell them, beginning from verse 15 onwards, if you love me, keep my commands. And then he offers these words of comfort. He says, I will pray to the Father to send you another helper who will be with you. Look at that. Who will be with you? Because now, it was Jesus, Emmanuel, God with man. Now Jesus is going and he said, I'm sending you someone who is going to be with you, and I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come back to you. Because I live, you will live. But again, he emphasizes, those who love me, my Father and I will love them. And he says in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace, I'm releasing my peace to you. But you know, in all of this, like giving all these words of comfort, words of promise, one of the things Jesus calls their attention to, that is love. In fact, he actually told 10 times, love me, love me, love me, love me. Some of us hang on to the promises rather than what is so important. That's what exactly disciples did. And they hanged on to these promises, but nothing happened. The fear in their hearts was not gone even after hearing these words of promises, and they were scattered when their master was arrested. So Jesus was saying to them, you love me because those promises of hope, help, are contingent upon your love for me and obedience to my commands. In other words, he's saying like this, fall in love with me first, the rest will follow. I want to show you how many times he uses the word. Look there. If you love me, in agapate, whoever keeps my commands is the one who loves me. Agapon. The one who loves me, or agapon me, will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and show myself to him. Verse 23, anyone who loves me, and this agapate me, will obey my teaching. Verse 24, anyone who does not love will not obey my teaching. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. Look at all of this. Love, 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 love. The chapter is full of love. I really want to highlight on this thing. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, period. You don't need to work on commandments that God gave you. That's what Israelites have done. They worked on following 10 commandments, so they have to create 613 other commands to follow 10 commands. Jesus says, I want to ease the burden for you. You try to follow what is most important, that is just try to love me, then rest will follow. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. One of the best parts I like is, my Father and I will love and come to them and make our home with them. Look at this. Father and I will come and make our home with the one who loves the Lord, not with the one who goes to the church regularly, who gives the offerings, who does every other thing but does not love God. Because I know how we are lost in a world of religion with all sorts of, you know, ceremonial stuff, and then we are so much soaked into it that we don't even know whether we are loving God or not. Observe the Greek word used here. Agape love. What love is that? Agape. What is agape? A sacrificial love. We have four loves in Greek, but only we have one love in English, right? Even in my language, we have only one word for love, but Greek has four. Agape, phileo, eros, storge. Means you have a godly love, which is sacrificial love. You have phileo, which is a dearly love, friendly love, and you have eros, which is sexual, or, you know, husband and wife love, and then you have familial, and they have storge. So why he was asking them to love him rather than loving commandments? Because he knows that the power of love is greater than the power of law. We are running after rules and regulations rather than just loving him. Once you love him, automatically you will fall into the rules and regulations. You are not going to feel bad about it. You know, love is an emotion that makes you feel trusted and plugged into Jesus no matter your circumstances. So we don't have that emotional attachment, not temporary emotional, but it is like a long-lasting. Remember what happened to Peter and six other disciples in John chapter 21. After hearing all these words of comfort, hope, they left for fishing. That is just a few days after the resurrection. Jesus already appeared to them twice. But then now, they were on the shore. Peter said, I'm going for fishing. Other six said, we're also going with you. They were all ended up there. What happened there? They were fishing all night, and they didn't find any fish, and they were experts of fishing, and they were on the water all their life, and now they can't find any fish. And then Jesus comes and tells, you now put your net on the right side of the boat. And probably they were left-handed. They were putting the net all the time on left side. Huh? I don't know. Probably Nick knows about fishing. He's not here. And sometimes he comes back and, oh, I didn't catch any. That's what he tells. And I know why now, because he's left-handed too. You know, when Jesus comes, put your net on the right side, and they catch 153 fish, a large catch of fish, and they couldn't even haul it to the shore. That time, Jesus asked him, oh, heart-wrenching, heart-piercing question to him. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now look at here. Agapas me. Look at that. When I was reading this, I was thinking, ah, no, I don't want to preach this. I want to first love the Lord. Do you love me? And then Peter's answer is, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He's saying, voidas. Means, you have seen me. You experienced how much I love you. Then he say, you have seen me that I didn't love you in the way you were expecting me, but I loved you just as a friend. Philia. Why? Because, you know, Peter denied Jesus three times. You know that, right? You remember that? And now probably he has that guilt and he's telling, Jesus, you already knew that. Oida. So look at oida and ginosko. There are two Greek words. Oida and ginosko, both are to know. Oida means know by experience, by seeing something visible. It's like candle. If you see candle and the fire and you know it is burning, it will burn if you touch it. That is just knowing. But if you touch it and you know it by experience, right? So two ways, you can just know. So oida is something that Jesus already knew, experienced what love Peter had displayed. And now, again, second time, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And then Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Again, his answer is philia. I love you as a friend, but I'm not able to love you sacrificially. Sorry, Lord. And third time, Jesus changes the word. Do you love me in a way? Do you filiate me? You just filiate me? You just love me as a friend? Then Peter broke down. He was hurt. Lord, you know all things. You know everything, whatever you see, visible and invisible, then you know that I can only do this thing. You know what he says? Peter, follow me. It's one last time he's telling, your following should always accompany the love. If you just follow just because you are on my mission, you are not doing. If you love me, it's easy for you. It is love that compels us to follow. The love, not the way we imagine, but sacrificial love. Our knowledge may not compel us to believe, may compel us to believe on something, may not compel us to do something. I love something. Only by experience, when you experience the Lord. You know, I have seen my mother falling in love with Jesus. You know, she gets up every morning, 3 a.m. It's like a secret lover. I told my mom when she was 78, I told mom, you're already so weak. Why don't you go to bed? She said, son, I began to love the Lord since I was 10 years old. How can I just not talk to him each day? You know, opposite of love is not hate. Sometimes you may be thinking you're not hating God, therefore you're loving, right? Opposite of love is not hate, it is apathy. It is love that compels you to go extra mile for the Lord. It is the love that compels you to be his witnesses without fear and shame. And anything you do for the Lord without love will be incomplete and ineffective. Doesn't matter how much money you give to the Lord and his work. Doesn't matter how many times you show up in the church. Doesn't matter how effectively you preach or, you know, display the power of God through your ministry. Nothing will happen. Nothing will touch the heart of God without love. That's why when the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord. The most important commandment is love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. With all of your strength. What do you do when you love someone? What do you do when you love someone? You like to spend time with him or her. Is that not right? What do you do when you love someone? You try to spend quality time with them and do your best for them. But how many of us are willing to spend time with the Lord? Do we? No, I love the Lord, that's why I do this, I do this, I do. No, you're totally disconnected from God. You know, I've been to Warangal this time, one of the Indian states. I met the pastor of the one of the largest churches in India. And this church accommodates 40,000 people. And every Friday, 50,000 people, mostly Hindus, Muslims, non-Christians of different faith, come for prayer. Sick get healed. Demon possessed get delivered. So I was so interested to meet him, so I went and talked to him for more than an hour. And I asked him, "Pastor, tell me why so many people are coming to this campus rather than other churches around." He simply said, "Look at my niece." He shown his niece. Said, "I spend my time with the Lord several hours a day." He spends time with the Lord several hours a day. He said, "I started my ministry in 1992. I was sitting under a tree because I didn't have a place to go. I had only one set of clothes. And it was rain or shine, I was under the tree. I was spending the time with the Lord. I love the Lord to death. I don't care about this building." You know how much he spent on this building? $24 million. He came with one set of clothes. I asked him, "Where did you get this money?" He shown his niece, "This is my bank." I was touched by this man, and I told him, "You need to come to High Point." Do we really take this area of loving seriously? Are we just pass it? "Yeah, we know, love the Lord." No. If you really love the Lord, it's not what you have that you will give, but you will give yourself. And today we use this love, the word, so casually. I have seen, I was in an American house probably 15 years ago, and husband was anger on his wife, and he told, "Honey, what are you, honey and what are you doing? Anger and honey word don't match for me." Like, "Honey, what the hell are you doing? I don't connect with those words. I thought honey is a dear word, but honey now thrown around casually, right? "My love, get out of here." That is how we use, even like in a culture like today, like if you're just walking on the people ask you, "How are you?" By the time you answer, they're halfway, like they're half a mile away. So today, our love for the Lord is like that. We love you, Lord, we sing in the church, but what do when we go back home? We are so much suppressed by the technology and other enticements that we don't have even time for the Lord. If you love something, you will run to Him. Second thing I want to focus on is make use of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise that Jesus gave. And the disciples were so sad that they're going to be without master. He said, No. "I will ask the Father, and He will send you or give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." You know, actually in Greek, it reads very beautifully. It says, "Kego erathisoton patera kai alon parakleton." It is so beautiful. He says, you know, erathiso, that word, I just want to go back. Okay, erotavo, the word means, "I will make an earnest request." Oh, here, this way, probably. Does it go? Okay, "I will make an earnest request." That's what it says. "I will make an earnest request from my preferred position as Father." That's what the meaning. Erotavo. And you may be wondering, why are you talking about it? I was a Greek professor for 9 years. Yeah, I mean, look at the look at how beautiful kayego yarathisuton pater alon paraklet. He was saying, "I will send you another helper Alone parakleton. Alone means not different, but the same kind. He was referring to a person like me. Who will be with you? Like, because Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. And now, Holy Spirit has become Emmanuel, God with us, in us. Another helper with us. And he says, the Sayumine Methiumone stone aina to paina tes aletias. He says that he's actually Spirit of Truth. He will reveal things to you. You know, there are over 7,400 promises in the Bible. Now, the best promise that Jesus ever made was giving the Holy Spirit to us. That will be with us forever. And in fact, the early disciples made use of the promised helper, depended on him for directions, and they were able to penetrate into every society to preach the word, to preach the kingdom of God boldly. They were not afraid of their life. This is what Lloyd John Ogilvy said, who was a U.S. Senate chaplain for 8 years and who wrote extensively on Holy Spirit. He said, sadly, many Christians settle for 2/3 of God. God the Father is way up there somewhere, aloof and apart from their daily lives. Christ is out there somewhere between them and the Father. The Holy Spirit is some kind of vague force or impersonal power that they hear about, but they do not know intimately. That is what many Christians are ignorant about the Holy Spirit. And people are so afraid to talk about Holy Spirit because they always associate the Holy Spirit only with speaking in tongues. For others, it is just a symbol of power, not power itself. And you know who is Holy Spirit? He's actually God the Helper. He's God. Why are we settling for 2/3 of God? 2/3 of God. He's God, the Helper, who intercedes for you right within you, who empowers you, who guides you, comforts you, who teaches you, who reveals things to you, who transforms you. How many times Holy Spirit told me certain things not to do? I did, and I fell in problem. And certain things the Holy Spirit revealed to me, I did, and I was good. You know, one of the worst fears of David is in Psalms 51:11, where he pleads with God, "Do not cast me from your presence, O Lord. Do not take away your Holy Spirit from me." Wow, look at that. He knew the cost of losing the Holy Spirit because he closely observed how King Saul disobeyed God and was tormented by evil spirit when the Holy Spirit left him. He knew how Samson lost the Spirit of God, became blind because his enemies gouged out his eyes. And now, even David knew how he fell in sin with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and couldn't see glory, Ichabod. He couldn't see glory of God because the Holy Spirit departed from me. Now he was praying to the Lord, "Lord, do not remove the Holy Spirit from me," because he knew that is the source of power, that source of life. You know, in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit was not resident in us, comes and goes, but Jesus made it possible to be a resident help for us in the New Testament. You know, this is what A.W. Tozer once said, "Because we have shut out the Holy Spirit in so many ways, we are stumbling along as though we are spiritually blindfolded." You may have eyes to see, but imagine if somebody blindfolded you. You're no different from a blind man. You have eyes. You're a blind man with good eyes. So that's what happens when you do not make use of the Holy Spirit. You are spiritually blindfolded. This is what Francis Chan, who was the author of Crazy Love, said. If I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart the kingdom of God and his purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. What is the strategy of Satan? To let the church ignore the Holy Spirit. That is one of the strategies. It's not your problem. It is the strategy of Satan. That means you are actually led by the devil. If you're not going after the Holy Spirit, you are led by the devil, because the devil is intentionally holding you from being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and talking with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. You know, if you are not led by the Spirit, you are like a house without power. What good is that? You have all the wiring, you have fans, air conditioning, when there is no power? If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but yet you do not make use of the helper who is inside of you, whom you don't ask for guidance, you are like a ship without rudder. You're right there. You go nowhere. You know, today, after knowing so much about God, people are still struggling with their faith. I have seen. I spent time with one of the missionaries in India. For almost 1 week, I shared my hotel room with him. Some of the questions that he asked me were faith-based questions. And I wondered about his knowledge and experience. He was so learned man. I thought he was initially testing my knowledge, and later I understood he was struggling deep within, and his knowledge did not help him. The more we know, the better we are supposed to become. The better we are supposed to become in our walk with the Lord, but what happens? Just the opposite. The more you know, the more you're supposed to become like Jesus, but you become opposite because you are not loving God, you're not using the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, Jesus is calling us to renew our love for him. That's what I tell to pastors in India. No matter how much you do, no matter how big your empire is, if you do not love the Lord, you don't know what you're missing. No matter how wonderfully your ministry is growing, if that is not by the help of the Holy Spirit, probably you are actually in the wrong place. You're not using the power of the Holy Spirit, but you're using your strength. If you really need Holy Spirit, I want you to come, and we are here to pray for you. We want you to receive the Holy Spirit. Some of you are scared because you are thinking, oh, I need to speak in tongues. That is the only evidence that you are being filled with the Holy Spirit. No. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Probably you may speak in tongues or you may not speak in tongues, but you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Shall we close our eyes? And while worship team will be singing songs, I want you to come for prayer if you need Holy Spirit. I'll be right here and the prayer team will be there. I really want to pray for you if you wanted to walk by the Spirit or receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for this morning reminding us about loving you, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, how much we miss you, Lord, by not loving you enough, not loving you with the love of agape. And Lord, by not making use of the inside or resident helper that we have, Lord, how much we are led by Satan, Lord, because someone comes and takes that place. God, give us willingness to receive you as Holy Spirit. Give us willingness to be guided by you, Lord, so that we can transform ourselves and transform the world around us, Lord. Father, thank you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.